Blog Talk Radio.
Says in the scripture, and you go, yeah, right, okay, whatever.
And so I write in this chapter here on the margins of my Bible, so you want to drink. Really? Well, read this. And so we're going to get to a part here. In fact, it's actually going to be the last verses that are really, really imperative about that. But again, we have wisdom that comes from God written to us in the scriptures. We can open our Bible and read it any time and get some real wisdom. So just follow along with me. Chapter 23, verse 1. When you sit down to dine with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you. Put a knife to your throat. If you're a man of great appetite, do not desire his delicacies, for it is deceptive food. Do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it. When you set your eyes on it, it is gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings, and like an eagle it flies toward the heavens. Do not eat the bread of a selfish man or desire his delicacies, For as he thinks within himself, so is he. He says to you, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you. You will vomit up the morsel you have eaten and waste your compliments. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Do not move the ancient boundary or go into the fields of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is strong. He will plead their case against you. Apply your heart to discipline and your ears to words of knowledge. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod, deliver his soul from Sheol. My son, if your heart is wise, my own heart also will be glad, and my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Listen, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Do not be with heavy drinkers of wine, or with gluttonous eaters of meat. For the heavy drinker and the glutton will come to poverty, and the drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. For a harlot is a deep pit, and an adulterous woman is a narrow well. Surely she lurks as a robber and increases the faithless among men. Now, pay attention to these last verses. This is unbelievable that that was written almost 3,000 years ago, or nearly 3,000 years ago. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long over wine. Those who go to taste mixed wine. Those who go to taste mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. At the last it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things and your mind will utter perverse things. And you will be like one who lies down in the middle of the sea or like one who lies down on the top of the mast. They struck me, but I did not become ill. They beat me, but I did not know it. When shall I awake? I will seek another drink. Anybody out there that's listening to me right now and then heard the words that I just said understands that that's the way of a drunk. That's the way of someone that wants to be inebriated, that likes to get drunk. In my life, it was a time when younger years where we looked forward to the weekends where we could just get completely blindsided drunk. And I was not a Christian. I didn't know Jesus. I'd never been raised in the church. I didn't know anything about the church. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything. I was just doing what everybody else was doing in the world, but I began to develop a taste for certain types of liquor. And what that ended up developing into, now I don't want to go into some big thing about, you know, the difference between alcoholics and delivered alcoholics and people that are, you know, I can just tell you I just pretty much developed and discovered a taste for different types of liquors. A beer is fizzy, and I've always hated fizzy things. It would get you drunk. You'd have to drink a lot, but you'd do a lot of belching, and it just wasn't good. So I found that hard liquor, you know, strong drink, like we just talked about there in Proverbs 20, verse 1, I found a real desire and a taste for that. What it turned into over a period of years was it wasn't just waiting for the weekend to get in and have a great party, go to a dance hall and you know, get drunk and have fun. No. It turned into every night coming home and having, you know, scotch, and then always when you pick up a coffee, you had booze in it. You know, whether it's Irish whiskey or some kind of Kahlua or something in there. I found myself just having, and then Bailey's became really hot and heavy back in the late 70s, early 80s. And the people, you know, you'd rather than put cream in your coffee, you put Bailey's, and always having liquor. And then really realizing after Christ came into my life that I was drinking all the time. I mean, it didn't matter. I was just drinking all the time. And that is what it can develop into. And it can go into a raging situation where you're not just drinking, but you're blasted drunk all the time, living a blackout. Don't even know what end is up. I didn't know this was in the scriptures. As a matter of fact, it wasn't until I'd been saved a number of years before I actually really read through the Proverbs and saw this. And I didn't know, really, because I was going to a Baptist church, I didn't know much about deliverance at all. But when I got saved, the day I got saved, drugs and alcohol were out of my life. That I just didn't do that. I mean, inside of me, as I know now, the Holy Spirit of God was dwelling. So there was a cleanup process that I didn't know at the time, and I've really only in the last 20 years really understood, maybe the last 30 years, I begin to understand that it'll be a lifelong process, because even some new thoughts have come in, new things have come in with new technologies and all the kind of stuff. We are sinners. We really are, and we're saved by grace. And so there's this constant process of God working through us. But as for the drinking and drugs and any of those kind of things, I can't say I was immediately aware, okay, I'm never going to drink and never do drugs again. But what happened with me is I was transformed by the renewing of my mind, and things changed that I didn't want anything to do with that. In fact, I can remember it was a number of years. I was probably saved for, I don't even know, it might have been 3 or 4 years, I don't know. And I found some marijuana that I'd had stuffed in a teapot, a silver teapot, in one of my wife's china cabinets. And I remember standing there looking at it going, this is so weird, because I would never do what I'm going to do right now and dispose of this, you know. And it was so awesome to see that. And there had never been a thought, and there hasn't been since in almost 40 years. There just hasn't been. That hasn't happened. But again, like I said, we can fall into all kinds of things that are still sinful, you know, with greed or with anger. Or there's a lot of different things that we almost kind of allow in our life that God doesn't want there. But if you want to talk about drinking, it's right here. And the bottom line is, I think a lot of it is experiential for people. If you've never drank, then you probably are not going to have any kind of a deal with it. Somebody may offer you wine, and you may drink it, and you may like it, and then you may end up developing a problem as a Christian. But if you had been in the world drinking, and you know the lifestyle that it leads to and that it's involved in, and that we don't need. Now, there's always the, oh, well, they have to drink up there because they have bad water and blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'm not even going to go down that road. That's for another day. I'll tell you this right here. We have water. We have juices. And there's just no need to drink alcohol, especially hard liquor, to where you get, quote, a buzz. And then we have to stop and think, well, what is, you know, a buzz mean? What does it mean to be drunk? What does it mean to be under the influence of alcohol? And it's easy to tell somebody, Or it's easy for someone that's never drank to say, well, you just don't want to drink any of it because you'll be drunk. Well, actually, a small drink of alcohol is not going to inebriate you, and it's probably not even going to affect any of your ability to think. But those of us who have had a problem with drinking can tell you there's no such thing as having just one little tiny drink. It's worse than Lay's potato chips. Okay, but you can't eat just one. Well, you just hand yourself a little sip of beer, a little sip of whiskey, and you're done. There's no. If you're drinking it, you're drinking it to get buzzed. Now, you don't want to puke, and you don't want to pass out. At least some people don't. But you're going to, until you, quote, feel it. Now, here's what happens. Then you get into this mode of saying, hey, they beat me. I didn't feel it. I just want to wake up and have another drink. And you think, oh, that can't happen to anybody. Really? Then why is it in the scriptures? And why is it thousands of years old? Because it has continued, and it continues to this very day. I looked today, this weekend, and I was just looking at all the different kinds of drinks that they have there. My son actually stopped to get my second little son to get him and his daughter a drink, like a one of those monster drinks and energy drinks, and he's going to get her an Arnold Palmer, which is iced tea and lemonade. And they're actually really very good. And mixed in iced tea and lemonade, you know. And so he went up to get them, you know, and they said, okay, can I see your ID? And he goes, what do you need my ID for? I'm getting a monster drink and a Arnold Palmer iced tea. He said, well, this is alcohol. And so Seth picked it up and read it, and he goes, oh, my goodness. He goes, this isn't going to work. It's for my daughter. You know, she's 10. And the guy looked, you know, I went, no, I didn't have any idea there was alcohol in this. They're making it look like a fun fruit drink and this and that. And so even though he was smart enough to realize that and didn't do that, the bottom line is they're trying to gather in younger people. So the 20-somethings, you know, I guess 18 in some places and 21 in other places, but it's more of a sport type thing. It's more of a fun thing. It's more of a conversation thing. And just, you know, I don't understand it. Until I look into the scriptures and realize it's age old, it's ancient. And there's products out there right now that are trying to get people to buy their products and then continue to buy their products. If we'd open up the Bible, we'd see where it leads. If we'd listen to this, we could see what can happen. It says, at last it bites like a serpent, stings like a viper. I have not seen anybody have wonderful results when volumes of alcohol are involved in their relationships. It's always been an ugly ending. One person I'm aware of, and didn't know personally, but I'm aware of, had 10 years where they had not touched any alcohol. Their life was really doing really well, had a young daughter. Their whole life had changed. And had a daughter that was 8 years old, and things were, you know, the daughter had never seen the dad, you know, use any kind of alcohol. It was a wonderful situation. And the dad and the mom went out to dinner alone, and he just wanted to celebrate having 10 years of sobriety and a whole different life. And the wife did not know that he had really had a problem like that, so he had a glass of wine to celebrate. You know, one stupid decision. And he woke up when his daughter was graduating from high school, which was 10 years later. One glass of wine led him down a road that he went into a stupor that he could not remember 10 years of his life. Now, I'm not going to say that's the average or the norm, but it happened. And that was one stupid decision. I think we are all, in some way, shape, or form, one stupid decision from utter chaos in our lives. That's why we have to count the cost and consider and look at ourselves and check and see that we're in the faith and stay there and stay strong and encourage each other and not point a bony finger at each other, but look at ourselves. And when we are pointing that bony finger at someone, three of them are pointing back at us, so that we would personalize these scriptures and look at them and apply them to our life. And how are we doing? How am I doing in this situation? I need work there. I need work there. Oh, yeah, that's me. Oh, that's me. Not, oh, yeah, I know a person that needs that. And that girl, oh, that guy, he should be here today listening to this sermon. But no. Just personalize it and put it into your own life and see how you're doing, you know, to count the cost. check yourself to see if you're in the faith. Consider, you know, make your calling and election sure, and really stand strong. And we can build the church that way. The body of Christ can be strengthened, and then we will not just be wide and covering a big, broad swath, but we'll be deep and wide, because simple and deep is better than complex and shallow. And we've got so much stuff out there that's complex and shallow. You can't have a shallow faith. It has to be deep. Our faith needs to deepen. We need to go deeper with Christ personally. Not our information and our intelligence and our intellect and our remembrance of this, so we can point other people and tell them how they live, but so we can look at our own life and see how we're doing. We can grow and actually grow in an area maybe we've never thought about growing. Maybe we never knew we needed any growth. We were getting ready for praise and worship time of our service with music and introspecting, and I was just going, man, I am in this whole room. Even though I get to be involved in leading as a lead worshiper and doing music on Sunday before I preach, I said, I'm the guy in this room that needs this the most. I am the person in this room that needs cleansing, that needs depth, that needs encouragement, that needs to be an encourager. I need Christ. There are areas of my life that I flip and I fall and I think and I don't ever want to get to a point where I think I'm coming here with my wonderfulness and going to tell people about how they can become a wonderfulness person. It's not that. It's that we need to encourage each other and reassure each other that, hey, we're all in this thing together and we're all struggling. Some of us in different areas, most of us in different areas, but it all ends up being for the same reason, to bring glory and honor to God and watch how He changes us. Give Him glory for the change that happens. But as we read through the scriptures and see, this is just an encouraging thing you get in the morning, and I don't know what out of all those scriptures might have hit you today. And again, like I've encouraged you, if you're listening in this program, you know the date. It's the 23rd, then go to the 24th, then go to the 25th. And you know what? Well, at least for this study, for this next month, I know where I'm going to be, and I can go in there and read it and kind of get a heads up on what's happening. I said I'm just going to pick one area, maybe even up to one verse or down to one verse out of the whole day, and then just kind of expound on that a little bit. But this is, it's circled, it's highlighted, it's marked in my Bibles, in this particular Bible that I've had for many years. There's margin writing. And then we get to the next scripture, and there'll be other highlighted stuff. And even as I study through this and speak and try to teach through this, I highlight more. I go, that I need to remember that one big time, because that's me. You know, that's the one that really gets me. That's the one that can just, you know, grab me. And I read about being the father and the children that listen, and it's my dream that my children would love the Lord with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that they would lead their children, and all of them have children. We had them over on Saturday, and all but a couple, but, you know, we had nine grandchildren over, and they're all running around, crawling around. We're eating a green meal because it's St. Patrick's Day, just passed, and it was just a fun time. But I looked at that and thought, man, I just want those kids. I pray over them. I pray over them by name nearly every day. Some days I fall asleep before I can do it, and then when I do, I wake up. I try to remember when I wake up, but nearly every day. And I don't want to say every single day, because I have missed days, but for the most part, nearly every day I pray for them by name, that God would bless them and they would find the Lord, the ones that are real little, you know, just a couple, maybe a few months old, that they would find it. The older ones that are in high school, I pray they serve God. And so far they are. I pray they continue to do that. And then I would suggest you do that for your kids, for your grandkids. Just continue to lift them up. Continue to bathe them in prayer. Continue to bring them before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And, that's what I'm going to do the rest of my life. The rest of my life, as long as I'm on this earth. And not only that, I get to do that for the congregation I happen to be able to belong to and have for the last 26 years, and leading people and studying the Word of God and preaching, praying, and persevering, and mention them by name. And we don't have a giant church. If we had 1,000 of people, I'd be in trouble, because I like mentioning everybody by name. And I think the most somebody I was reading somewhere, you know, like 300 people. So if you got a church of 200, 150 people, get your list going, because you can still do it. And if you get 40 or 50, it's a lot easier, trust me. But if you got 300, 400, 500, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I would encourage you to get some other folks in your church to be prayer warriors and pray for those people and pray for your times together, that God would open the eyes and ears of minds and hearts, and people would be transformed by the renewing of their mind, thinking differently. That's what happens when you come to know Christ. Your mind is changed, your heart is changed, your attitude is changed. At least it should be. Tomorrow we're going to be in chapter 24. And it's interesting because a lot of these proverbs concern different people in different positions. That's why it can apply to every one of us at the same day. Because you may not be dealing with one of these things, but you might be dealing with one of the others. And more than likely you're dealing more with multiple amount of them. Not just one, but maybe three or four or five or maybe all of them. And so you can relate. If you haven't, you have. If you aren't, you might. And you probably will. And there's always, there's this. Don't do this. That's an easy way to live. Don't do this and do this. I don't just say don't do this. I'd say do this. God says don't do that. God says do this. Oh, it's awesome to be reminded of that. So you guys have a wonderful day. Tomorrow is the 24th. We'll be in the chapter 24 of Proverbs. Checking that out. See what's going on. You guys have a wonderful day. And we'll see you tomorrow.